And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't just say everything that's on their minds, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Podcast.
Well, the sing-along is getting crazier and crazier every week. By the way, the podcast this week brought to you by Red Wing Boots. Work is craft, work is teamwork, work is trust. And when you really care about your work, work is Red Wing Boots. They're purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing Shoes.
Hey, we're excited, man. Dave Cobb is a producer and has done some, has worked with, produced great albums. Chris Stapleton.
Sturgill, man. Sturgill.
Woo. Jason Isbell.
Yep. And it's got a new one out. It's called Southern Family, and it's got those guys. Is it all those on? Sturgill's not on that one, though, is he?
Sturgill's not on it.
Yeah.
He How seems could like you do that without having. Did he turn you down, or did you just not invite him?
Nope. I did invite him.
That's what I love about him. That's what I. That's kind of that attitude that I dig it, man.
Nah, he's a good dude.
That's great. Dave's great. He's a good dude. I remember the first time I heard that album.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
which one? The one with Turtles All the Way Down and all that?
He is a huge Sturgill fan.
Oh, cool.
I love it. I don't get it. Some of the stuff I don't understand at all. But I don't care.
Like, yeah.
Turtles All the Way Down. Could you please tell me what that means?
Man, I don't know either.
What? You made the album.
Yeah, but I didn't write the lyrics.
Well, you didn't talk to him and sit around going, hey, what does that mean?
I don't know, man. You kind of just go with it, you know?
No, don't do that. You guys are sitting around. And is it a secret or something?
It's art. You just let him do his thing, man. You go, all right.
You're telling me you never once, you went,
hey, what does that mean?
I'm pouring my time into this. I need to know.
I think it started with DMT, actually. If I took DMT, I'd probably understand what it meant. But I think
what
that's where
that?
It came
what
from.
What is DMT?
DMT's like
I don't know,
it's
man.
A drug.
I don't do that either.
It's a drug of some sort.
Yeah, it's something.
So, yeah, you don't
where
write that
Where you get
that
to go get you renew your license.
You said DMT, and I'm thinking like Ninja Turtles.
You don't write those lyrics from moonshine and whiskey, man.
That's right.
A cup of coffee did not come up with Turtles All the Way Down.
That's the truth.
Yeah, that came from a really dark place.
He's a deep dude, man. He's well studied, and you know, he's always got his head in a book about something that I don't understand, so I just follow it.
What's he like personally?
Oh man,
we tried to get him on the show before. And
he's a funny dude, man. He's got a great sense of humor, you know. It's very much, you know, a Jerry Reed personality or a
really
Waylon Jennings personality. Yeah, just a funny dude, smart, clever.
There's a lot of people that say he sounds a lot like Waylon too. I mean, just like the style.
I mean, we love that stuff. So, you know, I'm here today because of Waylon Jennings. You know, I'm here in Nashville because of that family.
So, how so?
Because when I moved to California, I'm from Georgia, moved to California to produce rock records. And I didn't listen to country growing up very much. My parents listened to it. So I went to Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, and Black Sabbath.
Like everybody does. You rebel.
Yeah. I rebelled against it. So I ran out there and I wound up meeting somebody introduced me to Shooter Jennings. He said, you're from the South. He's from the South. Y'all get along. So we got together and we made a country record and had 4th of July on it. So the Jennings family, you know, Shooter introduced me to good country music. That's how I got into it.
You never
That's
really
how I learned.
You didn't know country music growing up.
Man, I grew up Pentecostal. So in our house, we had like Andy Griffith sings, you know, Elvis. It was never the real.
It wasn't Elvis singing Elvis.
I know. It was you know, like, I don't know.
Jim Neighbors
singing Barbara Mandrell. Yeah, it was always like some backwoods way to get to it. So I was very far removed from it.
Dude,
you know?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Last week, Bubba was online on YouTube looking for some kind of music for something that we're using for a break, and he goes, "What the heck is going on?" And it was from a church, and it was this woman. The music was like, it was like a praise break. It was like,
right.
Blah, the black church. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. The organ's going. And this woman runs out of the choir and she's just like shaking and dancing all around.
Yeah.
He's like, what the heck is that?
I said, dude, you got to come see this.
I'm like, yeah, this that's my childhood.
I know.
I had never
that's
been
why I ran to California,
to that.
Man.
I'm like, what is she doing? He's like, what do you say? She feels the whatever. I don't
Spirit.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's
we had an old lady. She her move was she would kick her shoes off, and she would run up and down the aisles, and then she would run, and then she'd get her shoes back on, and she would run like out the door, go around the church, gravel parking lot, around the church.
That's what they'd do.
And then back in.
So like nobody would act like it was a big deal. Like she would run out the door.
Speaking in tongues is a part of every service. Yeah,
it was all part of it.
And supposedly, from what I'm told, you can't make fun of it because you'll go to hell. It's the only thing you can't be forgiven of: blasphemy.
Well, I'm not making fun of it.
I'm not making fun.
I am fascinated by it. I am fascinated.
I get a feeling we're going to see each other, and he's going to be like, "No, they started it."
No, man.
And then, hey, how about when you bring your buds who go to the Lutheran church, and they come to the Sunday night service, and you're just praying that it stays calm?
Is Sunday night wilder?
Sunday night was crazy.
Man, they have vacation Bible study, and they have those 2-week churches that go on, revivals. And,
yeah, man.
You know.
The guy with the Pentecostal hair and show up.
Well, yeah, all the women didn't cut their hair, and they didn't wear.
We weren't quite that much. You guys were long hair, no makeup, long dresses.
Well, my mom and dad, were the light version. But, my grandmother, she never cut her hair.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Never had TV in the house.
Okay, so I'm going to shift back. You never listened to country music until you're in your 20s.
Well, I have to I lie on that because my parents, my first four concerts was Kenny Rogers Straight in a Row. So, yeah.
Back
you
back
saw
to
Kenny
back.
Rogers.
That's why I
listened
to Black Sabbath. Wow. I like Kenny now.
You didn't like it when you were a kid?
Well, man.
I know, man.
He wasn't rocking out a heavy guitar,
Are you a Striper fan?
No.
Get out. Nice to see you, Dave. Bye. Yeah. Goodbye. We love Striper. We're huge Striper fans.
I see in the studio you like Striper and Hello Kitty. Have you told anybody what your studio looks like?
Hello Kitty.
Look at that. My Little Ponies in the back. You guys are bronies. I know you guys.
Yeah, we love us some My Little Pony. Okay, so let's talk about this Southern Family album. Bubba's got some clips.
Would you like for me to play some clips? Yes. By the way, I don't know what they are because they're mislabeled, Patrick. You have God is a Working Man, which is actually You Are My Sunshine. So I'm going to press You Are My Sunshine, and we'll see what happens. It'll be the grab bag of awesome. Okay, that is
You Are My Sunshine.
Okay. And this is hot. Now, Big D brought up a good point. Listening to this earlier, he said, this sounds like you would hear it in the background in The Walking Dead in an episode.
Yeah, there's
and
just,
I totally,
there's
just, I totally
there's just
see
been
it.
Some big slaughter. And there's just zombies and blood everywhere.
Rick's covered, like always.
Just walking out.
Somebody's walking through a field, first-person view.
He reaches over and grabs Michonne's hand.
Yes.
And she sheathes the katana.
You painted such a beautiful picture of death and destruction just now.
You need to watch that show, by the way.
I'm scared, man. I can't do that.
I don't watch horror movies or horror or anything. Anything that makes me feel like I'm going to get scared and I'm not going to be...
Yeah, why you going to be scared?
I don't like that.
Give me Friday. Let me watch Friday.
Yes, Friday's
that's
a great
kind of movie. Yeah.
But I watched the first episode of The Walking Dead by accident. I was like, what is this? And I was glued.
No, you didn't.
I was glued.
You watched the first one.
I watched the very first one, the very first night it was on, by accident. I left my TV on AMC for something, which is crazy that it was on AMC to begin with back then, because nobody watched that network. And I came to work the next day, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, Big D, you've got to watch this show. It was amazing. And then, I got him hooked. And then we tried to get Patrick hooked, but he won't.
I'm with you, man. I don't want anything to do with dead people walking around.
It's not scary. It's not scary. It's like I always say this.
The makeup alone would freak me out. I don't want anything to do with that.
Did you ever watch the reboot of Battlestar Galactica?
Man, I'm not in sci-fi.
What?
I know. Okay. Well, I have no hobbies.
It's the
I'm
same
in the studio,
show.
And then I go to bed.
House of Cards? You into House of Cards?
I can't. I don't like gambling. No. I know what it's about. No, okay. I've never seen it though. I don't. Those aren't my shows. I like that. What is that?
Fuller House.
I love Fuller House. Love it.
Homeland. You know Homeland?
I started watching Viceland last night. That's a good one. New TV network by Vice. I like that one.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Man, I can't remember the name of the show. I don't watch TV, man. It's
sad. Too busy making music.
I got a 7-year-old and a studio, so that's my TV.
Hey, Dave, let's talk about You Are My Sunshine right here. Okay, so you got Chris Stapleton and his wife, and she basically takes over.
This is her song.
Who did the arrangement? Did they come in and say, here's what we're going to do?
Yeah,
they just
they
told
it.
You?
when we were talking about this in concert for years.
Yeah, yeah. When we talked about doing the album, you know, the whole idea was everybody write custom songs for it, and they told me they wanted to do "You Are My Sunshine." I kind of laughed them off the phone. I'm like, "Come on, man, You Are My Sunshine. We can't do that." And sometimes I moonlight playing guitar with them, and we go on stage somewhere, and they're like, "We're gonna do You Are My Sunshine in G. Just go with it." And we didn't talk about it. And so I'm kind of going, come on, man.
Did you know? Did you
know?
Like
no, I didn't know at all. So we get up there and they start playing it, and I was sold the moment she opened her mouth. You know what I mean? She's one of the best singers on the planet. And just, I fell into it, so I had to apologize, you know?
Their baby is going to sing like.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
You think about the two voices right there kind of coming together. And
she's devastating. She's such a good singer.
Yeah.
Insane.
It hurts.
Both of them.
Like,
yeah.
But like her, like she, it's, you feel the
she'll
pain.
Hit a note. Yeah, she'll hit a note right on it and hold it.
Yeah,
like nobody else.
What's another good song that we should try from the album?
Play the Miranda one. I like that one.
I think we only have a clip of this one.
Yeah, we have a little bit of
a bunch of clips. And this is one. Now the rest of them, everybody else, like you said, wrote for.
She wrote this one. Yeah.
Read the Bible. Hunt fish for survival. Plant a seed. Watch it grow. Learn to trust which way the wind blows. Let your mama know you love her. You will never have another. Daddy, I have not.
Can I just tell you how much I love the way you mic your drums?
Oh, the 70s style?
Yes.
That's a lack of mics, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean, lack of mics? You just have like one mic by the kit?
Well, I think a lot of records now, everybody's so concerned with the drum sound, they're not concerned with the vocals. So they have the drums just hitting you in the face, exploding
right.
The whole time. And
right.
The singer has to fit in there somewhere, and I think the opposite. I think about the vocal first.
Where do you get that? Isn't that like Glenn Johns used to produce the Rolling Stones?
He's my hero. He's my hero. A lot of it's from him, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Patrick. He said Glenn Johns.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I like this guy already.
Jeez.
He's the only one here.
Well, that was the way to mic drums for like.
That's how this was done.
And then,
pretty much, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, no, we're going to use 47 microphones to mic this drum set.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's always about a voice, you know. And this record, you can hear everybody's voice. You can hear everybody's heart, and there's nothing in the way of it.
What about the loops? What kind of loops did you use?
I don't use loops.
What are loops?
That's like everything now.
People
has
eat them for breakfast. They're fruits and they're loops.
Fruit loops.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If you listen to anything like on the radio, they always have a drum track behind it. That's the loop he's talking about. You know, just the you know, whatever.
The dance club.
Yeah.
Well, when you hear that, what do your eyes roll?
You know, everybody doesn't have to like one thing, you know.
I know all that. I'm just, what do you think?
I can't comment on that. Yeah.
It's not your thing.
I survived the 90s. I was in a band in the 90s, and it was required to have a guy come in and put loops on records. So I think I'm a bit traumatized by it, you know. So.
Well, some of the stuff I hear, and I just go, how is that country? Do I not understand what it is?
But I always come to the defense of, I play devil's advocate. You know what? Country has changed. Every generation, it changes. You know, every single time a new era comes,
everybody
always goes, this ain't country no more.
I am not, listen, I am not the old white guy who complains about, you know, things aren't the same. I got it. I know things change. I understand that.
But how
is
it country?
I mean, from a musical, like sonically.
Lyrically is where everybody says, well, this is country because of the lyrics and my voice, as Thomas Rhett once told us. My voice is country, so.
Yeah.
And I told him, I go, dude, I said, your album's great. I said, it's really good. I said, but some of these songs are not country. Yeah, you can't hand me a cheesecake
he just laughed.
And go, here's a hamburger. Just because you say it's a hamburger doesn't mean it's a hamburger.
That's a dangerous conversation, man.
And and he was like, well, you know. And I said, listen, it's good music. I enjoy it. Some of this stuff would be great.
I love the disco stuff that's on his album. I really do.
Why? What do you mean? That's not disco. That's country.
No, it's disco. And I told him that to his face. I said, this is disco. And he was like, yeah. I mean, it really is. I like that. But I grew up on Donna Summer and stuff when I was a little kid.
I love disco.
Yeah, I think it's great. Like that Daft Punk album that they did with
Amazing.
Giorgio Moroder.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Love it.
Awesome.
Love it.
I just hate the fact that, and I think he called it, it's genreless. And that's fine. But
that's
I just
whenever
hate,
you go like.
Well, on the flip side, I'll vouch for it. You know, Sturgill and I worked together a lot, and we were talking about him. Is like, you know, whatever he does, no matter if it was disco or trance or whatever it is, it's still country, only because his voice is country. He's always going to be labeled as that. So I think you're right to a certain extent. You know, the voice is country.
Well,
and the
Bubba,
lyrics,
that's Bubba
and
that,
lyrically, I think it.
Well, I think lyrically,
it's a lifestyle thing.
I also think lyrically, we've kind of. This is where I find the difference. I don't have a problem with the sound. It's lyrically, we're getting away from. I think there's the one thing that sets country apart is the fact that we have these well-crafted songs, and you know they tell stories and all that. And we're kind of getting away with that. Not with everybody, but I'm saying there are some that have gotten away from it, and. I just wish we would get, you know, we would set a rule. Okay, if you want to be country, then you have to lyrically be amazing.
I was laughing at this comedian I heard last night. She was talking about how country, new country, they write songs like, you know, I'm with my family, I'm driving a truck, I'm doing this. And they're trying to make their life so normal. And she said, the reason I think they are writing about that is because they're actually aliens. They're trying to fit in. Like, I'm not trying to call my mom, you know, in space or whatever.
Right.
But it's funny how interesting lyrics, you know.
The Southern Family album has got it's available now if you want to, those who want to download it. Jamie Johnson's on there. I'm a huge Jamie Johnson fan. I thought In Color.
That's Zach Brown.
I've always thought In Color was one of the best written songs.
Which one
ever.
Is Jamie? And I'll go to that one real quick.
It's called Mama's Table.
So we got it here.
This is an interesting song. This is literally a song about a table.
Just some hickory wood and screw.
He wrote a song about a table?
Oh, it's great.
Where
listen.
Daddy? Read the news. You didn't put your dirty shoes on Mama's table.
Of course, it's killer on this.
Was the center of best times I remember. Sometimes the only thing that brought us all. Grandma passed it down, and I was in the cradle. It's in my kitchen now, but it's still my mom's table.
Okay.
See, right. You're right. A country song about a table.
Like, I got goosebumps. I'm like, you know, I got goosebumps about a song about a table.
I listened to that whole record.
I'm not tearing up.
Look at my eyes. I'm like right there.
I listened to that whole record, and my first thought after hearing the whole thing was, you could have called it, instead of Southern Family, you could have called it Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa. Because that's pretty much
what it is.
What it is. You ask a Southern boy, or you ask, you know, Miranda, Zach, and these guys, you know, write a song about your family, and it's all about Grandma and Grandpa.
I mean, that song in particular, everybody's probably got a hand-me-down in their life, and I know that we have a table from my great-grandmother. It's at my grandmother's now, it's my mother's, and when she goes, it'll be to ours. So everybody has that, you know, where kids carve their name in the table, and and the guy is brilliant.
Yeah, and those tables aren't made, like, any other table that you can't buy that.
The only way you can get something comparable is if you get like an Amish table.
That's it. You got to go out and find an Amish guy
turn back the clock.
Custom order it.
My papaw had a huge tool collection that he used. It wasn't like, you know.
It wasn't just like collecting.
It wasn't like me. I just, every year I get a Craftsman little, you know.
Here's a Dremel, and it goes into a box.
Here's a Dremel.
And you never touch it again.
Not one Dremel was in that kit. And, but it's like, he went to my cousin. He really wanted it, and he had more place to put it. Anyway, it had
because
stuff in
it. Because he knew how to use it is what he meant.
It had like tools that would. I don't even know what they were.
Like routers and things like that?
All kinds of weird, strange-looking things that you just go, wow, that looks like you'd see that in a museum. Like
like planers
the
and
yoke
things like
for,
that?
Like he'd have the, yeah, that too. He would have like, he in the garden, he had a mule that he used to plow with.
You are a neck.
And so had all
he
of that.
He had his own mule!
Yeah, that's the mule that he killed that time. Remember that?
Wait, whoa. Don't just glaze past that. What?
I've never told y'all that story.
Nope.
All right, so my papaw.
Pull up my stool and listen to this.
From West Monroe, Louisiana. And my cousin, at the time, was probably 6 or 7. And Papaw just brought the mule in from working in the field. And so he let Randy, my cousin, sit up on. This fits perfect. So there was Randy sitting on the mule. And so he's sitting up on the mule. And my Papaw always wore these overalls. And this mule reached over and put his hoof on my Papaw's boot and hurt. So my Papaw kind of slapped him around, said, don't do that.
Slap the mule.
Said, which
Dude,
is, I think,
a
great
hashtag.
That's a band name, I think.
Slap the mule.
That's a punk band.
It's Nashville.
And so he goes, you do that again. That's my Papaw. You do that again, I'm going to hit you in the head with a ball peen hammer. So my cousin's sitting there watching this whole thing.
Oh, my God.
A few minutes go by. Papaw's getting all the gear, all stuff off his neck, off this mule. Sure enough, mule reaches over, puts that hoof on my Papaw's boot again. Randy said Papaw didn't blink. He reached down, you know that little loop on the side of overalls?
Yeah.
Well, that's where hammers go. I didn't know if...
I didn't know that either.
Now you know. That's where he kept it. Pulled that ball peen hammer out. Punk! Right on the head of this mule. The mule drops. Randy drops. The mule's dead. Done.
One shot. Wow. One kill.
So Randy goes, Randy's freaking out, you know?
Because he's 6.
He's like, Papaw, I think you killed the mule. He's like, yeah, well, we have to get a new mule.
Oh, my God.
So he calls the guy, the mule guy.
Mules are us.
And says, hey, he goes, yeah, Mr. Hathaway. Said, I need to get a new mule. Well, sure, just come on over. Goes over there, drives, got 3 on the tree, old Ford pickup with Randy. They get over to this guy's farm. He goes, well, Mr. Hathaway, there's one over here I think you'll like. Oh, that's fine. He goes, I'll put him into your trailer. He goes, I don't got a trailer. He goes, this time to the back of the bumper.
Oh, my God.
And he just walked him home.
So Randy said, we're driving, Papaw's driving real slow as this mule is slowly behind the truck. He goes, listen, I know West Monroe is kind of podunk, but he was going down, I think, main major roads with this mule walking behind us. Because we got to talking and stuff and just kind of really forgot the mule was back there.
Oh,
and
no.
I look over.
It's like the giraffe on the interstate, right? No.
I look back and it's like the Kentucky Derby. This mule is just trying to keep up. And he goes, Papaw, the mule. Papaw looked in the rearview mirror and goes, oh, hit the brake.
Oh, no.
They need another mule.
Oh,
man. Oh,
my God.
Wow.
That was a tough generation, man.
It's the Griswold family.
Yeah, wow. Said the cops show up. And, well, Mr. Hathaway, what happened here? You know. He goes, well, how are we going to get out of here? He goes, well, it's already dead. I'm just going to drag it home.
Oh,
drug it home.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's a
different... You got a song that's appropriate?
You got one of those?
I don't know if I do.
From the Southern
it's
Family
not,
album.
It's not a Grandpa's Mule.
Here's one called I Cried.
He's tough.
Tough
Brandon
mule.
Clark, which is devastating.
Said he lived a good long life and he'd seen a lot.
Poor mule.
Watched 82 years fly by and 3 kids grow up. Seen them all have kids and grandkids of their own. He was brave.
I'm guessing a song she wrote about her grandpa.
He was scared to die. Well, you couldn't see.
Good guess.
Yeah.
And the mule.
Like a soldier, he marched through his numbered days. Made his peace with God. He was gone.
Oh, now she's just showing off. What's that steel guitar thing going in there?
It's Robbie Turner, Waylon steel player.
It's sad now when we want to hear steel, we go listen to Hawaiian songs. All right, Brandy is awesome on this.
She's one of the best singers going, man.
You managed to get all of these people that, you know, musicians all love. Like this is an album that musicians and songwriters and other artists are all super excited about because it's all their favorites, man. It's Jason and Chris and Morgan and Brandy Clark and Holly Williams. I mean, you got so much street cred on this album. And I think you said, because I was there when you previewed the album, you said something about when you set out to do this, to put mainstream people like Zach and Miranda and get some other people that you were big fans of on an album with them because they weren't mainstream at the time.
Well, yeah, it's funny because when we started, it started off with Jason Isbell and the Stapletons. And, you know, their records were just coming out or were about to come out when we started making the record. And I thought it'd be great to have some bigger artists kind of also highlight some newer up-and-coming artists. And so we had, obviously, Zach Brown and Miranda. But since we started the record, people like Jason and Chris Stapleton had number one records and country records and did real well. And now they have, you hear them a lot. But I wanted to strengthen the Nashville scene, too, because I feel like, you know, we're London in the 60s. We're L.A. in the 70s right now. This is the home of music, not just country music, but the home of music right now. So I wanted to selfishly, you know, have everybody all together, kind of unify the whole thing.
So. Do you think you'll look back on this album and say this is one of the finest pieces that you've ever been a part of?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, it's honest. It's real. It's people who I adore, and it's a great time in music. So I can look at it like a yearbook, I think. And I guess time will tell what it means to people.
Well, just listening to what I've heard so far, it hits me right in the forehead like that mule. It's
like a ball peen hammered to the forehead.
It's everything. I mean, I relate to everything I've heard so far. I think it's not.
You know why? Because we all have grandparents. We all have parents.
And I don't even think it's a. I mean, I know it's Southern family, but I'm starting to think that
it's just family.
It's just family.
Yeah.
It's just America.
It is America. I mean, it's called Southern family because the people I know are all Southern.
Yeah.
Because we're here in town. But Brandy is from Washington, by the way.
Yeah.
But I feel like she moved to town and is fully engulfed in everything that's going on, and she's part of the family too.
Do you wish was on here that's not?
Oh man. That's a tough one.
Was there somebody that couldn't do it? They wanted to do it, but they just couldn't because they didn't have time?
You know, actually, everybody was came up for it. You know, people I didn't think would ever in a million years, like Miranda Lambert, I never thought she would be on it. You know, she was on our wish list.
Until she walked up to you and said, why am I not on this?
It actually happened, yeah. I met her before, and she said, you know, what, I'm not cool enough to be on your record? You know, and so she jumped on, and I never in a million years thought she would be on it, and she's on it. And it was a blast. She wrote the song with my little cousin, Brent Cobb, who's my family. His record will be coming out this summer. Who's an incredible writer.
Who's producing it?
I did. It's already done.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
But yeah, he's incredible. He's singing on that song with her too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. His song is great on it too.
I like her new man. What's the guy's name?
Anderson East. East. He's on it too. Anderson.
Yeah.
He's on it
What's
too.
What's his song?
That song's Learning.
His song's Learning, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's on it himself?
Yeah.
Anderson East is on here.
Yeah.
Was he on it before anybody knew that they were a thing?
Yeah.
Did they meet while making this record? How many times did somebody ask you that question?
Never asked before.
Never asked before? No. Glad I could be the first idiot to come up with that.
This clip is too short. It's only got 5 seconds left.
Oh.
I hear that and I'm just like, that's Joe Cocker, man.
Yeah, he is. He is a Joe Cocker. Yeah. You got it right, man.
Never thought of that before, but that is...
I'll play the same clip over again. I remember growing up. Except without the hand thing. Riding shotgun in my dad played golf with Joe Cocker one time. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, really? No. Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I think they were just playing golf and he showed up and they were like, could I join? So, yeah. I didn't know Joe Cocker even played golf.
It's a weird.
My dad has all those weird stories about, oh, you know, you could be talking about some Rocky Blyer of the Steelers. I played golf with him in 82.
But you know, Mr. Jesse, that when he says he played golf with him, they were on the same course on the same day.
Yeah, yeah, no, right, right.
He's, he always shared. I shared a cart with Farrah Fawcett one time.
For real?
Yes, for real.
I want to hang out with your dad.
My dad, yeah, my dad has
cooler
the stories,
than you,
man.
By far.
Yeah, he the way he is. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any of the other ones that are on there that we wanted to listen to.
What was the Holly Williams song? What's the
That's
title?
A good one.
Which one is that?
They All Good.
Check out they the all Jason. Good? Did yeah. you just say They All Good?
They all good.
They all
good.
This is a great song. John Paul White. It's the first song we did for the record. This is an incredible one, man.
You told the story about how he came up with
this. This story, I'm going to get it wrong, but I'd rather him tell it. But basically, he wrote the song. He said his grandfather was his life. His grandfather told him how to load a pipe. He taught him how to fish. He taught him how to do everything. It was his idol in his eyes. And his grandfather passed away when he was maybe 12 or 13. I can't remember the right age. But when he passed away, he noticed his grandmother wasn't crying at the funeral. And everybody else was bawling. All the kids were bawling. Parents were bawling. His grandmother wasn't crying at all. And he didn't understand it. Years later, he found out his grandfather was out all night, you know, doing whatever he was doing. And not quite the person he thought he was. And so his grandmother said, you know, years later, honey, I cried for him while he's alive. I don't need to cry for him anymore. She didn't have to worry
about
it.
Good God.
So he wrote the song as his grandmother.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
You're gonna die and younger eyes are gonna cry.
Oh, what a great line.
Done my mourning in your arms. Ain't gonna lose sleep when you're safe from harm.
This chorus kills me every time.
I loved you hard and I loved you.
How to describe that? That's it's not a sad song, but it kind of it's just such a powerful, emotional song.
Yeah,
the fact that he was willing to share a story like that too is says a lot. That's brave. That's really brave. He poured it out. You know, that kind of set the mark for the whole album. It was the first track we did, and you know, I didn't let anybody hear each other's songs when we were making the album. But
really,
yeah,
did they want to?
Well, I didn't want it to be the same song. You know,
but I'm saying, like, did other people want to hear, like, okay, what did they come up with?
Yeah, of course they did. But I thought it was better. I wanted each song to sound like the best representation of that specific artist. I didn't want it to sound like one run on record with everybody chasing somebody else's thing, you know? So, yeah, nobody got to hear anything. And everybody stepped up, you know? I think they knew the other people that are going to be on the record, and they were fans of each other. So I think they all.
Does that foster competition when they can't hear each other's songs? They're like, well, we better bring something good to the table.
I just think all these people were so naturally talented. Competition wasn't really a thing as much as it was just natural talent, you know?
It's amazing, though, that you got such great songs out of people. I mean, every one of these artists has their own record or next record to think about.
Yeah.
You know? And they brought this to the table. I mean, Paul White's got an album he's going to do, you know? But rather than wait with that song...
Are any of these songs going to pop up on their other stuff, or is this an exclusive?
I think
deal?
It's exclusive to this album. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's missing out on that for his own project.
I don't know, man. Maybe it may take a year for his record to be done. But nobody worried about any of that stuff.
That's amazing. That really is. It's like a it's.
But also,
it's kind
think
of a sense
this
of
song,
community that you got all these people to agree to do this because you don't have concept albums like this anymore.
I know this may be the last one.
I don't know. I think this may be the start of something. I mean, maybe for you it might be the last one. I don't know.
We might be going back to the hippie 70s.
If you don't want to revisit that kind of idea, that's cool and everything. But I think everybody involved with this project, and I think the fans in general. I mean, I didn't know. This is the first I've heard of any of this album at all. Patrick's like, oh, you're going to love it. You know, it's the guys you like, Jason Isbell and all that. I'm like, okay, cool. But this is hot, man. I mean, I can't wait to get in the truck and listen on the way home.
It's relatable.
That's yeah, well, a lot of people have common stories, but does everybody pour their heart out? That's the whole thing about it. And you were saying about them putting on their records. I mean, these songs, most of them were just written because there was a concept and they wrote for it. So and I'm just happy to, you know, have talented friends who are willing to do it. You know?
Well, the album's called Southern Family. Dave Cobb's been our guest. I produced it. Man, get it. Download it. It's one of those, I'm going to get out of here and make sure I download it personally.
Is this on vinyl, too?
It will be, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on that.
Is it going
to
be like $50?
Who knows?
He's like, maybe.
Depends where you buy your vinyl. That's how that works.
Well, thank you again for coming in.
I appreciate it, y'all.
I'm glad you got to share this with us because you made fans out of me on this. I mean, there's like John Paul who? Well, who was that?
John Paul White from the Civil Wars.
That's who that is.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, I know his. Okay.
You know, you've heard that before.
I've heard that voice, but I just didn't know.
I miss them, man. I wish they
man,
were together.
He's
I
think such an incredible them. Writer, man. Incredible writer. Incredible singer, too.
Do you think they'll ever do anything ever again?
I don't know. Who knows?
That means
never say never.
Never say never.
What happened? Will you tell me?
I don't know. I don't know the story. I don't know the story. It's funny. I met John Paul White as we were making this record. And it's funny. I went to Muscle Shoals because I'm a big fan of his work, and somebody connected us. I went to his house and I said and told him the concept, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm in." And then he said, "Everybody," he's like, "Most people know there's a keep off my grass sign in the yard, but you didn't read it. So, but I'm happy you didn't." So, I think
what the crap did you just say? What?
I don't know. Basically, he's there writing his record. He's doing his thing, and you know, we disturbed it by getting him to write a song for their record, and I'm happy we did.
Oh, there's not really a sign on the grass, is there?
No.
Dude, he probably does. No, he probably has a sign that says,
keep off my grass.
Keep off my grass. No solicitors, you know.
All that.
Forget the gun. Forget the dog. Beware the owner.
Oh, you just went to his house and just rang the doorbell?
No. Somebody connected us. I called him first.
Okay. You're so artsy. I love how you have all these little things. I'm not sure what's real.
I swung the door and it went to the right. What? What does that mean?
I came in there and we exchanged. We broke bread.
He ate my food.
He ate my food and I ate his food. What? What did you do? I don't know.
What is food?
Anyway, it's good to see you, man. Thanks
for
dropping
thank
by.
Thank y'all. Appreciate
hey,
it.
Anytime you want to make some music together, just please call us.
You mean to make food?
Yeah,
let's make do it. Food. We'll break
anytime
bread.
You,
we'll
anytime
break
you bread. Want to step
that is such
the
a
kitchen.
Creepy term, is it not? Breaking bread. Hears me out.
Why?
I don't know.
Breaking bread.
Breaking, I mean, now bread is sliced. Do you have to actually break it these days?
You know, that's
I know it's an old thing, but
it's been around for a while.
Yeah,
you know, it came in big loaves, right?
I think
how
so.
Big
and big loaves,
big
like
loaves, like the size of a redfish.
And then they would break it because who's going to eat that whole thing? That's too many carbs.
I get
it's more
it.
Tearing than breaking, though. Like they really,
it is kind of a tearing.
Let's rip
tearing
some bread.
Unless the bread
really
back
break.
Then was no.
All right.
Unless the bread was really hard back
then.
Oh,
and then you would.
Then you had to break it. You had to like literally
it was probably
break
all
it.
Hard and stale. That's why.
And that's why. Then because you
they
had
didn't
to break
have bread
it.
Boxes or refrigerators.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's about time for lunch. I'm gonna go break some bread.
All right. you put bread in the fridge.
My grandma used to keep bread in the freezer, man.
Kathy does too.
Oh yeah, you buy the day old bread so that it was cheaper. You put it in the freezer and it lasts forever. That's a song right there. Grandma kept her
freezer
bread.
Grandma's freezer bread.
That is a Southern Family. Song.
Right. That'll be on y'all write it.
That'll be on number two.
Right.
All right. The podcast this week sponsored by. Thank you again. This podcast sponsored by Red Wing Boots. Work is craft. Work is teamwork. Work is trust. And when you really care about your work, work is Red Wing Boots. They're purpose built for the exact work you do. Red Wing Shoes.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day, it was the podcast.